for identity when you say the name Jesus in this day and age. All that sin we been eating now tastes the same. When the Christmas come around, people stay away. We try to rap a little bit and they say we shame the game. So tell me, why would I do the things that I'm doing? Influence induced through music, excluding Lucifer's rule and foolishness if it's useless and won't profit me nothing. Tell me, how is it worth it? Why would I talk about that fairy tale all in my verses? Because I met a person bigger than churches and sermons has been perverted. A person that ripped my heart out my chest just to convert it. A person that took them nails in his hands and ain't deserve it. Nah, so I'm not gonna compromise the message cause the world crooked. Nah, I'ma step my bars up to the world looking. Cause this the name he gave me and I can't run from it. He saved me like KB, this is 100. This is 100. He saved me like KB, this is 100. 100.
Listening to God's Spoken Word with Prophet Johnson Lee Simpson Jr. and Sister Luella Simpson, Trailblazers for Jesus. You can correspond with them at P.O. Box 8321, Alexandria, Louisiana 71301, or phone them at 919-394-8262. Be sure to join us next time for God's Spoken Word.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. We're going to read them in the King James from on the marquee, but then again, I want to reread them from the New Living Translation. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And I want you to pay attention to what the word says. It says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Yes. Amen. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And this is where our text, verse 4, is where it's going to come from. Verse 4, give it to me. Have I got it? Click it one more time. And father, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, while you remain standing, let me read that from the New Living Translation. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do.
Yes.
Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. And you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
I want to speak. You can be seated. I want to speak just for a little while. Praise God. On the role of responsibilities of a faithful father. Turn to the person that's on your left or the right and say, the pastor.
Or that preacher.
is going to talk about the role or responsibilities of a faithful father. Now, if you are sitting next to a male, amen. If you are sitting next to a male, I want you to ask them this question. Say,
are you a faithful father?
Now, don't ask them yet. Are you faithful father? As we look at this fifth and the sixth chapters of the book of Ephesians, I'm going to try not to be long. We find that the Apostle Paul is providing instructions in what I call clean old living as he closes out chapter 5. Go back and read it. He's just talking about clean old living.
Yes.
Praise God. That's what he's talking about. And praise God, as he completes that and he see that his emphasis shifts sort of when he gets into the sixth chapter. He no longer is talking about just clean old living.
Uh-huh.
Now he's talking about relationships. Yes. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, come on, neighbor.
Neighbor.
You can do better than that.
There must be
some relationships. Praise God. Praise God. If we go back to chapter 5. Begin particularly at verse 22, we find that what he talks about. Let me just give you a few things. And I want nobody, this is not no male chauvinist message here today. Praise God. He said for wives to submit themselves to what? Their own husband. That's in the word. I didn't put that there. Praise God. And then he looks at the husband and said, husband, I want you to love your wife just like Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. Amen. See, I think a lot of times some husbands don't read the rest of that. Amen. They like to read that part about submit. But praise God, they don't go to that next one and say, now, husbands, you are to love your wife just like Christ loved the church and how he gave his life for it. That's how much he loved the church that he gave his life for it. Praise God. And then you see where he, as he gets out of that fifth chapter and then shifts into the sixth chapter, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Trying to look at some of these children in here. I like to make eye contact. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Then he goes back and he said, now just to show you that it's right, he takes them all the way back to Exodus. Oh, y'all know where he wrote the Ten Commandments. He took them all the way back. Exodus chapter 20, I believe verse 12. When he said that, I want you to honor your mother and your father, because if you do, your days upon this earth will be long. In other words, he told them that if you honor them, what he is saying to the children is that longevity, amen, of life will be yours. All right? He does that. And then after that, he goes on where the rubber really hits the road. Verse 4. He goes on to tell fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. I know they're yours. I know that I gave you the power to be over them. I said that you were the head of your house. You were the head of the woman, your wife. But I don't want you, just because you are the head, I don't really want you to get the big head. And he gives specific instructions in that: do not provoke your children to wrath. Okay, now I want to do something here this morning that I have never done before in this church. I want every father in here to stand up. Every father in here, if you are a father, you got a child that you have fathered somewhere. Praise God. And I want you to do this. I want you to take and point a finger right in your own chest and say, I am a father, and I will not provoke my children to wrath. I'm not going to worry about what happened way back then. But for right now, I will not provoke my children to wrath. Amen. You may be seated. You see, that word provoke means to excite, to anger. It means to stir up. On purpose, it means to irritate, it means to aggravate, it means to exasperate, it means to inflame. Just praise God, playing on, getting on somebody's nerve. Praise God, hallelujah. But fathers, we are told not to provoke our children to wrath. Now, that has nothing to do with discipline yet. I'm going to get there.
All right.
I'm going to get there. Amen. But let me tell you something. Praise God. We do have some fathers who will provoke their children to wrath. I was looking, and man, you know how God is good. God is good. I was sitting down, I said, I'm going to preach this. And I just so happened to say, I need a good example of where a father provoked his child to wrath. And I was looking at television, Deacon Robinson. There, some of y'all may have seen it. There was a television show on about this football team. I think the name of the high school was something like Pelgrim. It was in Odessa, Texas. Anybody else saw that movie? Where this school had one goal in mind, and that goal was to win the Texas State Championship. And I saw, I said, man, you know, kids were out there, they were working hard, they were playing hard. And there was this one kid that every time he either caught the ball or he would run the ball, put the ball in his hand, he had an occasion to drop it. And his father came out in the front of everybody and just ripped this kid. Don't you know that you are my son and you are dropping the football? You are making me look bad. Did anybody else see that movie? Praise God, I wish I had at least one witness. And I'm saying to myself, now here's a guy that's provoking his child to wrath. He got to the point where he took a football in the front of his friends, and he took the football, put the football in the kid's hand, and took duct tape and wrapped it around the kid's hand. You know how embarrassing that was. This story was based upon a true story. So you know what that child felt like. He says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Praise God. In other words, don't go out of your way, praise God, to make your child, praise God, wants to get angry. Amen. Because I see what I think sometimes, and I know this Father's Day. I'm talking about father because I'm hitting myself. Praise God. I believe that fathers forget one thing. Praise God. Maybe a couple of things. Praise God. They forget where they come from. And they also forget what God has brought them through. Praise God. And let me tell you something, praise God. When I looked at that movie, I got to tell you fathers this. Don't try to live your life through your child. Let me say that again. I heard some amens over on here. Maybe because we only have a few men over here. Fathers, don't try to live your life through your child. Just because you didn't make the NFL. Just because you didn't make the All-Star team. You didn't make the NFL, praise God. Don't you try to live your life through your son or your daughter. Don't you provoke them to wrath. Praise God. But that has nothing to do with discipline. Because my God, we have to discipline. Oh yeah, we have to. If you don't discipline, it let you know that you really don't love them. Amen. Can I say that again? If you don't discipline them, it's a sure enough sign that you don't love them. Amen. Can I give you a biblical text for that? I believe that Hebrews chapter 12, put that on the marquee. Verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loves, what does he do? He chastens him. Chasten just means that he's disciplined. That means that he's nurturing them. Praise God. And he goes on to say, and scourges every son whom he received. That word scourge just means that you're punished. That's all. Praise God. And let me tell you something. I often say, I want a God that's going to dust me off. I don't need no God that I got to dust off. And when I'm doing something wrong, I want to have a God. I have to tell a guy, put me in check. Because if he doesn't put me in check, somebody else just might. Praise God. I have a video that one of my former, he's retired from the Chamber of Commerce, retired Lieutenant Colonel Jay Ellington, sent me last week. And if I didn't think it was so gruesome, I would bring it here and show it. In fact, I just may do that. I just may do that. Fathers, we have to discipline our children. But we shouldn't provoke them to wrath. There is a big difference between discipline and provoking to wrath. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I'm going to move on. So my first point is that when you talk about a responsibility of a father, praise God, father will not provoke his child. Will not provoke his child. Let me do something. Fathers, you don't have to stand up right now.
But do the same thing I told you last time. I'm not. Point to yourself. I'm not going to provoke my children, amen, to wrath. Amen. Now, that was the negative thing that this verse talked about. But there are two positive things that the father should do. Amen. See, the first one was not to provoke. Amen. Not to provoke. But the second thing that we should do if we are responsible and we are fathers who are faithful fathers in the Lord, yeah, praise God, hey, we ought to bring those children up in the nurturing and training of the Lord. So I'm trying to give you something. Instead of provoking them to wrath, say, I want to bring them up in the nurturing and in the training of the Lord. Praise God. Look, that word nurture. Webster defined that word nurture as to care for, to feed, to nourish, to educate, to train, to foster, to promote growth. Amen. That's what that word nurturing stands for. Praise God. And of course, the wisest man that ever walked the earth, with the exception of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Y'all know I'm talking about Solomon said it. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. He said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Praise God. That's all a part of that nurturing that child. So therefore, fathers, instead of provoking our children to wrath, we should be training them and nurturing them, praise God, in the things of the Lord. And I like that word nurture, because everybody know that I'm a gardener. I love to garden. And in order for a plant to come to perfection, I got two plants in my backyard right now. I thought were cantaloupes, but they're not. They're honeydew melons. I thought I had some cantaloupe, but they were first cousins. And I said, now in order for that plant to grow and be perfected, there had to be some right ingredients that I did. Yeah. I had to, first of all, make sure that that plant was being taken care of. Yes, somebody said, what you mean by that? I had to make sure it's getting the right amount of sunlight. Yes, I had to make sure it's getting the right enough nutrients. Yes, praise God. If I look at the leaves and the leaves will start turning yellow, let me know that that plant is missing something. Yeah. And whatever it was missing, I had to do. If it needs a little bit of sodium, amen. Everybody know what a little sodium will do to a plant, man. It'll green it up so bad. That's why, can I tell you when you've gotten a watermelon that's no good? Let me just hip y'all to something. When you get a watermelon that's beautiful and red and the heart of it is sort of white and hard, you know what that just tells you? That tells you that the farmer put too much sodium in the watermelon.
Yeah, man.
I'm just trying to help you to something.
Amen.
So you got to make sure that the plant has the right fertilizer, has to have the right nutrients, getting enough water, getting enough sunlight so that that plant can grow to perfection. And fathers, when we nurture our children, praise God, we are doing the same thing. The reason why, because we do not want them to grow up stunted. When we nurture them, let me just give you some things to put in while you're nurturing them. It says bring them up. And that contains the idea of nurturing and nourishing. How do we nourish our children? First of all, praise God, fathers, we have to pray for our children. We must pray, praise God, in the times when we don't feel like praying. We have to pray for those children. Praise God, we got to teach those children how to pray. And fathers, let me tell you this. Prayer is the key. We got to let them know that prayer is the key, and it's their faith that's going to open the door. So we have to pray. But not only that, We have to modeling, praise God. That's talk about modeling and setting a good example. Somebody said, what are you talking about? As a writer said, he says, values are more caught than taught. Let me let that settle in for a second. Values are more caught than taught. You see, she said, while a child may not be good at listening to their fathers, they never fail to imitate them. Should I say that again? Should I say that again? Let me break it down just a little bit further. Praise God. You see, it's hard to tell your children that church is good for them and they see you don't go a very seldom go. I'm talking about modeling, folks. I'm talking about being an example. Praise God, to your children. It's hard to tell your children that alcohol and tobacco are bad for them when they see you. As that phrase I used to have, they see you getting drunk as the skunk and smoking like a chimney train. Or should I say a choo-choo train? I'm talking about modeling. I'm talking about setting the example for that child. First of all, it's hard to tell your children to love one another, praise God, when they see you and hear you running somebody's name in the ground. They may not listen at what you say, but praise God, they're going to certainly imitate. They're going to emulate you. In other words, they're going to copy you. But we are to teach them, train them, praise God, bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Another thing that we do in this nurturing, in this, man, we got to spend some time. Amen. We got to spend some time. I'm talking to fathers now. See, mothers spend all kind of time with them kids. Sometimes I think they spend too much. Fathers don't like to spend time with their children. They get so busy with the hustle and bustle of this world. Praise God, they don't spend any time with those children, especially those boys. Praise God. You like to go fishing? Don't say, I don't want to go with him because he don't know how to bait a hook. Take him on the pond. Teach him how to fish. Something going on at school. Don't send mama. Both of y'all go. That child is a reflection of you. You need to go. Praise God. Fathers, I'm talking to fathers today. Well, you know, I can't do it. I'm the provider. I'm the sole provider. That's okay. God going to give you some time where you can spend some time with that child. Finally, again, this thing about discipline. And I've already talked about discipline. I read something that just blew my mind when I read it. I said, I have to write it down. It's a quotation. And this is not original. The Duke of Windsor, somebody may know why I'm getting ready to go with this. The Duke of Windsor said this some years ago. I want y'all to listen at this. It says, everything in the American home is controlled by a switch, except the children.